see everybody who's here this morning. And if you are joining us for the first time, if you're visiting with us, today we're going to introduce, we generally follow a theme, or we have been for several years now. We follow a theme throughout the year, and I'm going to introduce the theme for 2019. We're glad you're here. We want you to want to come back and be with us at every opportunity you have, and I hope we make you feel welcome, and indeed you'll want to do that. In fact, going to church is the theme for this year. And we're going to talk about going to church, and I'm going to start off this morning by just talking about, if you will, a typical Sunday morning. I want you to kind of just sit there and reflect upon this morning. Ask yourself, was it a typical Sunday morning for you as you perhaps got up, got ready, came to church, etc.? And what does a typical Sunday morning look like for you? I mean, as you, you know, think in terms of coming to church, you're getting ready, whatever, etc., what does it look like? Does it bring to mind as you think about, or you think about what happened this morning, does it bring a certain image to your mind? What typically goes on? Does it conjure up some mental picture for you that this is what Sunday looks like when I'm getting ready to, quote-unquote, go to church? Are there any discussions, if you don't live by yourself, I know a couple people do, but if you don't, are there any discussions that typically take place on a Sunday morning between yourself and your family or whomever? And do you prepare in any way to go to church? I'm not going to delve into these questions so much. I just want you to reflect upon your typical Sunday morning and ask yourself, you know, what does it look like? What happens on Sunday morning for me? Do I, for example, do I do the bathroom shuffle? You know, that's, I mean, if there's several people in the house, you know, got to get in there, got to get ready. I mean, is that what is kind of taking up and occupying our time? Do we sometimes argue, maybe about the bathroom? Do we bite? Do we fuss, etc.? What goes on? Is there a scramble? You know, got to get ready. I'm running late. A mad dash for the car. Maybe a mad dash for the building. Is that what goes on? Or hey, are you tired of doing all of that and kind of just leisurely make your way and you'll get there when you get there? But what typically goes on a Sunday morning? Everton, Wes, I'm going to ask you guys, they're going to pass out a survey. And I'll mention these questions and then I'm going to go on. But I'm going to ask you, if you will, to take the time. There's about a half dozen questions on here. I want you to fill those out. I want you to pass them back in, and I'll call for the collection of them probably near the end of the sermon. So I'll give you time as we're going through the lesson to think about them and write down your answers. You should be able to locate a pen or a pencil just in front of you on the back of the pew that we use for the visitor's cards. But fill these out for me, and this will give us an idea, this will give me an idea at least, as I'm preparing lessons for this year, what, you know, people think about in terms of going to church. So these are the questions, and you'll see, those of you that have already gotten it, and you will shortly, the very first question is, if you go to church, you know, you might be here for the first time, you might not have gone for years, I don't know that there's anyone here that fits that category, but if you go to church, why do you go to church? Now, there can be a lot of different reasons why people go to church, so I'm interested in seeing why the people that we have coming to church here, why they go to church. So why do you go to church? Jot down a brief answer, if you will, about that. And then I'll ask you more, not necessarily that this question is the same answer, it might be, but what do you believe is the purpose? Maybe we should say the correct purpose of going to church. But why do you go to church? But what do you believe is the purpose for going to church? And then I want to turn specifically to our church service here. So I'm going to ask you a question. What could we do to make our church services better? Again, you can, you know, put your name on these if you want to, or you can leave them anonymous if you prefer. And I didn't put a space on there for your name. But I'd really like to know what people think. You know, what can we do to make our church services better? How do you feel about the way we're doing what we're doing? And I'm interested in seeing if there are, you know, are ways we can improve. So I'll ask it like this. Do you enjoy going to church? I know that in my life, as I look back over all these, you know, didn't always enjoy it, especially when I was a child, a kid. Sometimes I really enjoyed it. Other times I felt like it's what I had to do. But do you enjoy going to church? And then I'll ask you more pointedly, and these are just yes or no answers right here, but do you enjoy coming here to church? That may not be the same answer. You might enjoy going to church, but you don't like coming here. Or vice versa, you know, you don't normally like it, but you do enjoy coming here. I'm interested to see, you know, where you fall in that. And then I will ask you to tell me why or why not. Again, you can leave this anonymous, but I would appreciate some honest answers there. And then I'll ask very pointedly, what do you particularly like or enjoy about the way we do things at East Orange? If you do like coming to church here, then there got to be reasons why you like that. Maybe you like the way that we do the Lord's Supper. We just had that. Maybe, and I know everybody here likes the preacher, so you feel free to put that out. But maybe there are different things about the church service you really like. And so please put that down, and then you'll notice the last question. What do you particularly dislike? You know, not everything and the way we do everything appeals to everybody. So if there's something that particularly does not appeal to you, then I'd appreciate you jotting that down. I really don't like, I know it's not the preacher, but I really don't like the way we do so such and such. But those are the questions. Take your time with them as I go on through the lesson. And then I'll ask Wes and Everton, as I said, maybe about 15 minutes from now to collect these. So take about 15, 20 minutes, and then we'll collect them back. Here's a shot of our church building, going to church. Throughout this year, I want us to focus on this idea. I'm going to church at East Orange. There's a lot that goes on here. We're going to get into all different kinds of aspects that have to do, parameters that have to do with going to church and going to church here. And we're going to talk about it. And the basic idea this year will be to explore why we do what we do. If you walk in here, and I think back to over 40 years ago now, the first time I ever walked into a Church of Christ, it was different. And maybe it's the case, and I know we have a number of people here who come from different backgrounds, so you probably, the first time you ever walked into this place or a place similar to this, it probably was different. It was an experience maybe like I had. You began to notice what was not there. Now, if you grew up like I did, my grandmother was the piano player in the church that I belonged to. I was part of the choir. And so you notice immediately, you know, there's no piano up here. There's no choir. We all took a book and we sang. That was different for me the first time I ever went to a church service like this. So why do we do what we do? You'll notice that I put in parentheses, retaining our identity as the Church of Christ, because, and one of the main reasons that leads to this theme this year, is that when you really begin to identify the Church of Christ, what makes it different, maybe that experience you had X number of years ago that I had, in many respects, in many places, the church is losing that identity. That is the Church of Christ, and you'll notice I put here, especially in America, is losing that identity. So we want to talk about what makes us a Church of Christ. What does it mean to be a Church of Christ? We want to talk about that. We want to talk about various doctrines and practices, both of the church as a whole and of us as individual members. And do we retain our identity by what we're doing here publicly, collectively, but also privately as Christians? And what threatens that? So I want to talk about challenges and threats to doing things that help us to maintain that identity. Let me go a little bit further. This year we won't divide the theme as we have done each year into quarters. So I'm not going to start off this morning and say quarter one will have to do with this, and we'll talk about it January, February, March, and we'll divide it into four different quarters. I'm not going to do that this year, but rather there are going to be three emphases. In other words, we're going to emphasize during the year, and these won't be, for you mathematicians, we're not going to divide this up into 4 months apiece. But we're going to talk about assembling, we're going to talk about worshiping, and we're going to talk about identifying. Now let me just briefly mention that this morning, and won't get into it very deeply. But we have assembled together. That's what we're doing right now. We have assembled together. In fact, those of you who are aware of this, you know that the word church, which has a Scottish origin, the name Kirk, for example, comes from that. Or many of you come from different backgrounds and different languages, such as if you're French, Eglise, or if you're Spanish, or you have a Spanish background, or you speak Spanish, Iglesia. And that comes from an original term in the New Testament, but all of those words have to do with gathering together or assembling together, as we've done this morning. I want us to talk about that. I want us to talk about what it means to assemble together. What is an assembly or assembling all about? And then the idea of worshiping. We have in various ways worshiped God this morning. Everything from our singing, certainly to the Lord's Supper, to the prayers we've offered, to the giving, our collection, to the teaching, the preaching that's going on now. We worship God in a number of different ways. And we want to talk about that. We want to look at that and how we maintain our identity in the way that we worship God. It's very important. But also, identifying with the church. This one may be a little more difficult, and I'm not going to take a lot of time because I'll wait until I really get into it. The idea here is to identify with the church. Go back to that picture or look at the background up here. Do you identify with this church at East Orange? And if you do, there are a lot of questions that grow out of that. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to the church? Et cetera, et cetera. We're going to talk about that. How the members identify with the church, and how the church takes on the identity of the members. And there is a give and take, push and pull, etc. that goes on there. And as you begin to dig into that, you really go back to that first frame that I put up there, or that top block that I put up there, and you notice the threats and the challenges and the maintaining the identity and all of that kind of thing. So we're going to delve into that. But again, we'll build up to that, and that'll be in the latter part of the year. Finally, in each case, that is those three main emphases, as we talk about assembling, worshiping, and identifying, in each case, we're going to present the fundamentals, why we do what we do. And there's going to be a lot of, I'll go to the Bible and I'll say, the Bible says this, and that's why we do so and so. But that's not all that we're going to do. It is important to do that, to present the fundamentals, to talk about the truths as they relate to why we do what we do. But to go beyond that and to talk about the challenges, but not just that, you know, we do it this way and they do it this way and they're wrong and we're right. There's a certain part of that. We wouldn't do it the way we do it if we didn't feel that it was at least, you know, a good way to do it, maybe the best way to do it, or certainly the right way to do it. But on the other hand, it is not just that I want to talk about my church does it this way, and they, whoever they are, do it that way, and talk about the difference between the two and leave it at that. No, I want to talk more about what goes on within the individual member that leads to all of that. And I think that's equally important. So in other words, when we get to that point, we'll talk a whole lot about the idea of worshiping God and what a true worshiper is all about. As Jesus said to the woman in Samaria, remember, true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth. And so I want to spend time really looking at that. So we'll talk about particular challenges to those truths. And some of those challenges have to do with doctrine, and some of those challenges have to do with my individual spirit. And so we'll look at that as well. So going to church, that's what the theme this year is all about. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me to this passage that Georgie read. And I want to spend a little bit of time, and this is not going to be a long lesson this morning, but I want to spend a little bit of time on Hebrews chapter 10. Now, some of you that are astute may notice or remember that in the course of the last half dozen years, Hebrews chapter 10 has popped up as a theme verse for a particular quarter. if we were talking about building an ark in my church, if we were talking about going back a little bit further, some of the things that we did and how the church contributed helping to different things that we were trying to accomplish. But this year, the whole year, really is going to be taken from Hebrews chapter 10. So I'm going to, of course, probe more into this passage than I ever have before. Let's make some points about it. Look with me at verse 23 very carefully. In fact, let's just read verses 23 through 25 again. Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast. The King James says the profession or the confession of our, King James says, faith. The word really is hope. The confession of our hope without wavering. Notice, for he, speaking of God, of course, is faithful who promised. Then he goes on in verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling. Again, you see that one of the main emphases this year. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Let's break that down for a moment and talk about what that means. When we talk about hope, we talk about what we expect. There are all kinds of jokes that go around. I remember hearing one not long after I became a member of the church. And someone said, you know, a preacher stood up and asked a crowd of people. In fact, I think it was a classroom or a Sunday school class is the way the joke went. But he asked the group of people and he said, who wants to go to heaven? And if I were to ask you that question, I'd say, who wants to go to heaven? I would assume most every hand in here would go up. I want to go. And then the preacher said, who's ready to go to heaven? And one boy pulled his hand down. And so the preacher looked at him and said, Johnny, you don't want to go to heaven? And Johnny said, yeah, preacher, but I thought you was getting up a load right now. Johnny wasn't ready to go right now. But you get the point. Who wants to go to heaven? Who's ready to go to heaven? Those are two different questions. If I were to say it like this to this group of adults, and I want you to really think about what I'm saying, who wants to go to heaven? I would assume most everyone who voluntarily comes to church wants to go to heaven. There'd be no other reason to go to church. I mean, there are a lot of things you could be doing this morning, a lot of things that many people are doing this morning, perhaps that I've done in my life rather than go to church. And I didn't really want to go to church that day. I wanted to do something else. And my mind is racing back to different times when that was the case. A long time. But that was the case. But if I ask you this question, do you expect to go to heaven? Well, that's a different question, isn't it? I want to go. And the older I get, the more I think about it. It becomes pressing, and I realize, you know, as I turn 60 and maybe 70 and 80 years old, those of you in the Wednesday night class, and we were looking at Moses' psalm, remember? And as I grow to those ages, I think more and more about how close heaven is, or salvation is, as Paul put it in Romans 13, and I begin to think about how relatively short time really is. It's amazing, you know. I had to go to the doctor the other day, and I was sitting there talking to the doctor, and the doctor was saying, yeah, when was the last time you were here? And I said, well, I believe it was the beginning of last year. And I was amazed when he looked on the chart and he said, no, it was the beginning of 17. And I thought, man, it really was 2 years ago. And you realize the older you get how fast time goes by. I realize we spent the last couple of years basically getting ready for a wedding, you know, and it seemed like a blur. But you realize that. Now, come back to the question. Michael, do you expect to go to heaven? Well, there are a lot of questions that go into that, aren't there? There's a lot of thought that has to go into that. Because when I expect something, I believe it is going to happen, and I have to know that I'm ready to go to heaven, like Johnny wasn't sure he was ready to go right now. Well, am I ready to go to heaven? Because I could today have to face that end of life. You never know that. And I know that the older I get and, you know, as naturally and normally health breaks down and all of that kind of thing, it's going to come. So do I expect to go to heaven? And if I don't expect to go to heaven, then why do I not expect to go? Why is there such a question in my mind about it? That's what this year is about. Because when we go to church, we believe that church is the best environment to bolster confidence. I want to go to heaven, and I want to know I'm going regardless of when that time comes. If I die today, am I going to heaven? I want to know that. And I figure the best environment that God has given us, notice again what the passage says. Let us hold fast. Here's the idea of holding on to something, an expectation that you're going to heaven when you die. That's your hope. And hold on to it fast, firmly is the idea, without wavering. The church is the place where I begin to gain that confidence. That's not all there is to it, and I know that. But can I really have that confidence without going to church? So the best environment to bolster that confidence, to solidify our faith, and to give us that hope or that expectation of going to church. Notice verse 24 when he says, "And let us consider one another." I'm amazed sometimes when I read different things, different articles and bulletins, you know, periodicals, etc., things online. I'm amazed as people talk about going to church. And if I were to ask you this question, it's not on the survey, but if I were to ask you this question, do you suppose that most people go to church for the benefit of themselves or other people? I think all of us would say they probably go for themselves. If you were to go out and you were to poll people or give a survey to people and say, why do you go to church? And I don't want anybody to bend down and start quickly changing their answer now. But if you were to ask that question, most people will talk about what they get out of church. And there's nothing wrong with that. We just finished in verse 23 talking about it. But notice how the writer of Hebrews goes on in verse 24 and he turns his attention to what you do for other people. Let us consider one another. Let's everybody consider everybody else. Notice how I broke it down here with the language that's used. Let us consider. It's a word that means take note of something. To perceive. That is to look at something, study it, perceive it, understand it. To observe the needs of an individual. In other words, it's me looking at you and saying, what do you need? Now, as a preacher, I have to do that all the time. What do you need? What do you need from me? What do you need from Wes? What do you need us to teach? What do you need us to talk about? But it's all of us observing the needs of those around us. And notice how he says, let us consider or take note of or observe the needs of one another. To provoke. And here this word means to incite or stir up. And notice, love and good works. We all need that, don't we? We need people to stir that up within us. Montel and I watched an old movie last night. We like to do that. But there was a father with his son, and the son was a typical adolescent. Looked like he was, you know, maybe 13, 14 years old. And he was pulling pranks all the time, and he was the oldest kid with younger brothers and sisters, and he was forever doing things to them, bullying them and all that kind of thing. And the father all through the movie kept saying to the son, there's a lot of good in you. While most everybody around really was kind of, you know, fed up with the son and just put out with him all the time, didn't think much of him, the father kept looking and said, boy, I see a lot of good in you. But you've got to mature. And you've got to take responsibility. And as the movie goes on, the father dies. And now the son has to take responsibility for his younger brothers and sisters and be the man of the house. And it was because of his father's belief in him that he was able to bring that side of himself out, and he did a phenomenal job. And it was a true story. That's what happens when we go to church and everyone realizes this mutual need to stir up inside in us the love that's within us, the good that's within us, and help us to bring it out. And I believe that we push each other to do more and more good. In fact, the word provoke in Hebrews 10:24 has the idea of inciting, and we usually think of that as a negative term. You know, we talk about people inciting others to riot, which is a crime, of course. But no, it just simply means to stir up, to move someone to do something. And in this case, it's very positive. Because God wants us to work together. Notice, people will commonly say things like, you know, you can worship God at home just as easily as you can worship at church. No, you cannot. You can't. And all of this idea of I can stay home and turn on the televangelist and all of this kind of thing that has become such a popular mantra is directly against what God says. God wants us to work together to help one another to do more of what we're supposed to be doing. Go on with me to verse 25 here. And there we go. Not forsaking. Now, a lot of us understand what the word forsake means. When we talk about forsake, we talk about abandon. We talk about someone has abandoned me, forsaken me. A lot of times when we talk about, you know, married people and one spouse leaves the other, we speak of abandonment. We speak of forsaking. And that's exactly what's going on here. The idea of leaving someone or something behind in some place. It's like when a person quits going to church. What has happened there? They left a group of people behind. They've abandoned them. They've forsaken them. They've deserted them. And what God is saying in verse 25 is not forsaking, not deserting the assembling together of ourselves, as the custom or habit is with some. And I don't know about you, but some of us, myself included, I can look back on my early life and I can see that. You know, the idea of becoming part of a group, of being very involved for a while, and then leaving. And leaving, and I don't mean for a good reason. You know, you're a preacher, you're moving around. We're not talking about that. We all understand what we're talking about here. You just quit. And there's no reason given sometimes. There's no announcement made of it. It's not that kind of departure. It's just a leaving. It's like the guy who walks out on his family. You know, what is it? The old Bruce Springsteen song that says he took a wrong turn and just kept going. Left his wife and his family in Baltimore, was the song? Anyway, had a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. That's what it is, yeah. Went out for a ride, never went back. That's what it is, yeah. So, but we know what that means. We understand what that looks like. And some of us can think back to times when we've been like that. I was very involved. They could count on me. They believed they could count on me. All of a sudden, wasn't there. We understand that. That's what he's talking about in this passage. No, it's the exact opposite. It's encouraging each other. It's going back to that verse 24, that incitement, etc. It's encouraging, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Because you see, he's speaking of regularly meeting, assembling together of Christians. He's talking about taking advantage of the opportunity to encourage each other, which literally means the calling near, calling alongside to strengthen, to console. And the edifying, that is the building up of each other in the faith. And that's what happens when we go to church. In fact, let me make an observation. The word exhort or encourage in most of your translations, it literally means to call alongside. Literally, think about that. To call someone alongside you. Like calling them over to you. Calling them near to you is the idea. And the calling of each other to each other's side to encourage, console, or comfort. And you know, it's very encouraging to have others alongside you. I mean, not many people like to go through life alone. Not many people want to handle every situation alone. Not many people want to go through the worst emotional times in life alone. No, we want people to come alongside us. We want people to be there for us, as we say. And it's disheartening when people are not there. When you count on somebody, and I'm going to church, and I always enjoy being around brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so because they make me feel better. They push me to do what I need to be doing. And they feel the same from you, but when you're not there,
It's disheartening.
Oh, so-and-so is not here. Now, maybe they're sick or something like that. That's one thing. But to think that someone is not there just because they didn't want to be there, or something was more important than you, something was more important to them to be doing elsewhere, it's very disheartening. And we look back over time, and we look back, a lot of us, over the years, and we see people, Everton, Wes, you guys want to start collecting those sheets? I'm going to wrap up here in a couple of minutes. We look back over time and we see different people and we think about different members who meant so much to us. And now they're gone. It's very disheartening. Going to church provides an environment that fosters good behavior. And throughout this year, we want to focus on this passage in Hebrews 10. And I'll come back to it, any of a number of times, including next Sunday morning, because I'm going to talk about a main takeaway throughout the year. 3 points that we want to see the whole year, and we're going to really emphasize those. Wes is going to help you with a couple of things, including audio visuals and that kind of thing, but we're going to really focus on that. Going to church, what it means, what it's all about. We'll kind of capsulize that, and we'll really talk about it throughout the year. If you're here this morning, and you're not a child of God, you're not part of the church, let me take just an extra moment this morning. You know, when we give an invitation, I want you to understand, when I typically signal that I'm wrapping things up, that I'm calling for anyone to respond to the gospel that's in the audience, and I say, if you're not a child of God, then are you ready to confess that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you ready to repent, to change your life, to make a change in your life? Are you ready to be baptized, to have your sins washed away? But there's another part of that, and we're going to emphasize it throughout this year. Because in addition to that, because once you do that, you are a child of God, and you need to clearly understand that. Once you do that, once you obey the gospel, you are a Christian. You are a child of God. Your sins have been washed away. You are, by the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk about this, you are literally baptized or put into the church of Christ, the Lord's church. But that doesn't mean that you're part of a local congregation like this one. It doesn't mean that you're one who is named within an assembly. And so we'll talk about it. We will get into the idea of making this, as we touched on last year, making this your church home and what that means. Identifying with this local congregation. Being part of this church here. And we'll really get into that. Because we have people who come from time to time who are members of the Lord's church. And we might say, of some other congregation, or just in general, they have been baptized into Christ, therefore into His body, which is His church. But it doesn't mean that they've placed membership, as the Bible talks about. It doesn't mean that they've joined a church, as the Bible talks about. It doesn't mean that they've become one of a local church, as the Bible talks about. And so we want to get into that and talk about that. And in particular, throughout this year, we're going to really discuss that. Now, if you're here this morning and you're ready to respond to the Lord to become a Christian, or if there's something in your life that needs to be corrected, or if you understood all that I was talking about and you're ready to identify with this congregation, won't you please come?